Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
Tonight's stories.
Quitting a job.
Feeling special.
Feeling.
Ultimatum.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Comfort Level Podcast. I'm Maddie, and I'm here with
Brandon.
Sam.
Jill. We didn't talk about the order. That was that tripped everybody up.
It didn't hurt me. I was like, so I get to spend more time with my friends. Sign me up.
When were you going to tell me and Jill that this was a beanie episode?
I've been wearing beanies all day.
So you guys have been discussing sometimes this all day.
You got to feel the beanie. Sometimes you got a beanie. And I felt like today
was, yours says bad friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like you.
Yeah. No, don't worry. I caught it, Jill.
He didn't catch it. I don't think
so. I just moved on.
Sometimes you have to ignore it.
Yeah, sometimes.
Sometimes you just got to pop out and ignore niggas.
So why aren't you guys cool yet? Because, we and specifically
cool.
You, yeah. Because Jill came in very nice. Hey, Sam. You said, hey. What was up with that?
It had nothing to do with Jill.
So I just caught a stray.
A little bit, because I think when I walked in, it was kind of Mama G's fault.
Oh,
her friend is here, and
her sister.
Oh, that's her sister.
That's my Aunt Rhonda.
Oh, she didn't say Aunt Rhonda. She didn't say Aaron. She just said Rhonda. I just got Rhonda. So coming in, there was an energy that I was like happy to see Mama G, and then I guess Aunt Rhonda looked at me, and it kind of cut off something that was between me and Mama G a little bit.
So no, nothing was there.
There was definitely something there. Aunt Rhonda kind of ruined it a little bit. So then I came down to see Jill, and then that I was still there.
Maybe because my Aunt Rhonda knows too, like, hey, stop looking at my sister like that.
I'm just saying, love is love is love. So, I don't so I'm sorry, Jill, for the energy I had. It was really, it was directed at Aunt Rhonda, really. Uh-oh. Oh,
hi.
Oh, man. Hey, Aunt Rhonda. Oh, man.
Anyway.
So it might be my sister-in-law.
It's not going to be your sister-in-law.
It might be my sister-in-law. Hi, sister-in-law Rhonda. We'll see.
Okay, Sam. So either you stop making those jokes or you're off the podcast.
I will
it's
stop making the jokes.
It's this ultimatum or nothing. Like this first story.
But honestly, I will stop making it when Mama G stops giggling. If she doesn't giggle
she's
at
never
it,
gonna
then,
stop
exactly,
laughing.
Then I'm going to keep making it.
It's freaking crazy, dude.
You must be stopped.
Seriously. So this first story is, am I the asshole for distancing myself from my family and giving my mom an ultimatum? Sounds like me.
Brandon?
Update ultimatums. On... Oh, ultimatums.
Yeah. He doesn't like them, I think.
Ultimatums are bad. Just be straightforward.
Am I the asshole for distancing myself from my family and giving my mom an ultimatum? I'm a single father who will be petitioning for full custody next year. Not only am I finding myself in a rather great position to do so, with a promising career in federal employment and ample time for my child, unfortunately, I have a sibling who is a registered sex offender and is currently incarcerated. The mother of my child has expressed to me that she would leverage my sibling's registered sex offender status in court in order for my child to no longer be allowed around my family and to petition for full custody. Consequently, I have made the decision to distance myself from my family to protect my rights as a father, but this resulted in the deterioration of the relationship with my mother. My mother has a big heart and will never stop trying to help people in need. My incarcerated sibling is scheduled to be released in 1 year. Their address will be my mother's address, which creates an issue for me visiting my mother. I have begged my mom for the past year to encourage my sibling to go to a halfway house instead of moving in with my mother. As a victim of sexual abuse myself growing up, I will always do what I can to ensure my child never experiences that trauma. So I ask again, am I the asshole for making my mother choose to prioritize the relationship with her grandchild and myself, or allowing my sibling to live with her? And then there's an edit.
Messy story. Huh. I think it's messed up. Well, I don't know. It's kind of messed up that the child's mom uses that as a reason to like keep the child from the dad, kind of sort of. It's like she's weaponizing it without it even like being a consideration at the moment, because he's locked up.
Right.
So she's just like throwing that out there probably to be spiteful a little bit, like, oh, I'm going to say that your brother or whatever sibling is a sex offender, so you can't keep her child.
Right.
And I'm going to get full custody. Like, she's doing it in a...
You're not necessarily doing it for the benefit of the kid. You're just doing it so
to be
win.
Mean.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think he's the asshole for doing that. I do feel bad for the situation where he has to choose between his mom and his kid.
Yeah.
But I get why he's doing what he's doing, just because even if I was the mom in that situation, even though it's very spiteful, I think just the stigma around sex offenders, whether they are repeat offenders or not, I'm like, knowing you're a sex offender, I don't want to be around you. So if there's a chance that if my child goes to visit my partner's mother and you're in the house and I'm not there to do anything, that makes me uncomfortable, because I know that he's not going to be there now. If the mother chooses to let that person live with them, then he has to choose to also not talk to his mother anymore. And so I think when that happens, it's like, that's the problem.
Yeah.
But I also, even though it might be preemptive, I still would be like, I don't want you to be. But maybe that's wrong, because I'm like, I know that you're not an offender, you know, but just knowing who you might bring your family around. But I don't know if that's maybe devaluing their choice that of what they know they can do for their own child, you know? I don't think he's the asshole for having to make the hard decision of choosing between his child instead of his mom.
But I don't think the mom is really the asshole too. This is a tough decision for her.
Yeah.
His mom?
His mom, of choosing between her son, even though he did something wrong. That's still her son, and like her grandchild, just like, I can't be for someone who needs me, who hopefully went to prison, got rehabilitated, is turning over a new leaf and getting a second chance. That's hard for her to make that choice. It's like some two people I care about. So it's really tough all the way around. I don't think the OP is an asshole because you're prioritizing your child. That's what you're doing. But the mom's doing the same thing.
I think for me, when it comes to like specifically, even if they might be rehabilitated, I still don't think it's like something where I would want to be around them like intentionally, especially not bringing my kids around them alone. Not that that's what you're saying, but even like say the sibling does come back to live with the mom, I would like it for it to be like a few years before I'm necessarily around you, knowing that the rehabilitation has worked before.
And I think that's fair.
I'm even
totally
around
fair.
You, and you probably still will never
meet
my kid under those circumstances.
Because I have a friend whose brother got in trouble because he was a teacher at a school and he did things with students.
Oh, wow.
And it's interesting seeing it from that side. I'm like, because I know this friend very well, and they're like, this is my brother. They're still important to me, and they still have a relationship. And it's hard to get other people's judgment, because you're like, other people are like, I don't have the relationship with him or the love to like, I'm going to give you a second chance. Most people are like, I can't risk trying to like be around you. Mm-hmm. So I think that's from my standpoint. I'm seeing it in real life of people trying to navigate that. There's kids being born in their family and they all have to reconcile with like, what's going to, do we let him in their life or not? And I know it's just not an easy decision just from conversations with them. So it's just not coming dry. And I don't think anyone's wrong either way. Like, if you're like, I'm, even though I guess it is hard to say, like, I'm going to trust him, I'm going to give him the opportunity to be around, like, that's a hard thing to do.
Yeah, because it's like, if you trust wrong, then oof.
Then your kid pays for it.
Yeah.
Because there are things in, I think, in our family where, like, people don't say anything about what people are doing to people in the family, and that perpetuates it, because, like, no one's saying anything. I think that's, like, the worst thing. This is kind of different because he was caught, he was... So there's some, it's at least out in the open that we all know about it. But either way, it's like, it being out, you have the opportunity to make the decision for yourself. But you're not the asshole for saying, I'm not going to risk it for my child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll never be the asshole for protecting your child. And it's better safe than sorry.
Yeah. As much as I hate ultimatums, I think this one is... justified.
Oh my God, he's approving.
Ooh, Brandon.
That hurt to say. But it's, it is such a gray area of a whole situation. I don't think, like, that's like a last resort almost, it seems like. Unless, did he outright tell his mom what was going on? Or are we just assuming also that she already knows what the baby mom's trying to do?
I have begged my mom for the past year to encourage my sibling to go to a halfway house instead of moving in with my mother. So for the past year.
But does she know, does the mom know, like, what the situation he's facing right now?
I assume so.
Yeah.
Well, even if the baby mama wasn't threatening that, if I'm saying that, like, because we don't know that he still doesn't feel that regardless of what the baby mama's threatening or not. He still might not feel comfortable with.
Yeah.
Him being around the kid. So he could just be like, Mom, I don't, like, I want you to be around a grandkid, but I can't do that. And it's still the same thing. He's giving their opportunity, and she's like, well, I'm making this choice, and so I got to make mine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Either way, yeah, it's just justified ultimatum. That's crazy to
say. Whoa, he's happy about it. Look, he's smiling about ultimatum.
It hurt him a little bit. He had
it hurt. Yeah. This is a cope smile.
Brandon loves ultimatums.
Never thought I'd see the day.
I love one single ultimatum.
Okay.
Your favorite thing.
So I'm going to read these edits in this comment here. Edit. Wow, thank you everyone who is supporting my decision to distance myself from my family. Your words of support and encouragement make it a little bit easier. It is rather emotional knowing I'm cutting off people I love to ensure my son's safety first and foremost, but to also protect my rights as a father. But to clarify the situation a little bit more, I don't speak or have contact with my sibling because of the crime they committed since 2019. Mm-hmm. I don't plan on excluding my ex in our child's life. I'm rather trying to gain primary custody. I should have explained that better. My child is old enough to decide where they would like to go, and I am ensuring there is no barriers on giving my child the opportunity to live with me. And then top comment, family first, and that means your child, not your mom. And then somebody else said, not the asshole. Under no circumstances should your child be around your brother. I think they're assuming that. Your mother already made that choice by allowing a pedophile to move in instead of thinking about your child's safety. So, yeah. Definitely not the asshole. I don't know. Talking about any of that, I don't think we ever really talked about that before. But
yeah, we haven't. Man.
I'm just glad it's talked about. I just hate when it's not talked about in families where this stuff is being done under the cover of darkness.
Yeah.
So many people are assaulted, and it's by someone they know. It's not like, it's typically not a stranger. It's typically by someone you know, someone in your family, and you got to protect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I want my family to be good. I want them to be, like, not have to grow up and deal with this trauma in their life, to start from a deficit because you were already traumatized as a child, and now you got to overcome that just to have a normal life.
This next story is, am I the asshole for telling my boyfriend he can't quit a job he hates?
Unless she's like one of those people that's like pushing you to do better And he's like, he hates it. But it's like, bro, you've been through like five jobs.
Yeah, that's where I'm, because I'm like, I know a lot of people who are like, they've quit five jobs. And you're like, every job is not against you.
Yeah.
You're doing something. It's not every job. It's not, man, they did this to me. I'm like, no, you can't keep a job. It's you that's the problem. There's some jobs where you're like, yes, you need to get out of there. But if it's constantly happening, that's you.
That's you. Take a look in the mirror, bud.
You need to.
Newsflash, buddy.
Newsflash.
Am I the asshole for telling my boyfriend he can't quit a job that he hates? Backstory, I, 34 female, and my boyfriend, 38 male, Steven, have been together for 3 years. About 2 years ago, we moved across country together for work, and our lives have changed drastically. We realized right away our two incomes would not suffice for a comfortable living situation. I bartend as trade and immediately found an excellent part-time job to cover any fun expenses. Flash forward to now, and I'm working constantly. My part-time job has taken consistent advantage of me as they quickly fired two bartenders upon my hire. I was under the assumption more would be hired, but instead they had pushed me into a full-time status despite my complaints. The money's fantastic. So it definitely took a while for the exhaustion to outweigh the benefit, but I need to quit this job because I cannot continue working six doubles every week. Not to say I won't quickly find another employer who will better uphold the part-time job agreement, but with all this to say, my option to quit has been halted. My boyfriend is very unhappy with his job. He wants to quit with no plan in place. We have no connections in this state whatsoever, and that worries me significantly. I want him to be happy, but I'll be completely honest in saying that I'm exhausted. I've had no life for over a year, working 80 plus hours a week. I pay for mostly everything now, with rent being the only thing we split, because that's fair given our income differences. If he quits, we won't be pressed for cash for a while, as working two full-time jobs has its advantages, though I don't know how much longer I can do this. So I'll be the first to admit, I did not handle the situation well. I told him, you need to suck it up and be a man and work through it. He obviously did not take this well and now thinks I do not value his happiness. I'm constantly looking for job opportunities for him, and he's trying to find a new job while still employed, but his mental health meter is quickly depleting. My mental health meter no longer exists. I'm a zombie, to say the least. Redditors, comforters, and anyone who is willing to help, how do I navigate this situation? As of now, I think his happiness triumphs my exhaustion, but how do I keep this from getting stuck in this daily revolving door of clock in and clock outs? Am I the asshole for not letting him quit a job he hates?
How old are they again?
And then there's edits.
He 30s. Is 38.
Oh, 34 and 38.
30. Why did I think they were in their early 20s?
No, these are
okay,
full
this,
adults.
That changes my whole perspective.
Yeah. I don't think she's the asshole.
Mm-mm.
Because, no, firstly, she's working 80 plus hours a week. Two full-time jobs. Homegirl is stressed.
Yes.
Immediately. I already know she's stressed. I don't even have to do any type of scale on her to figure it out and give her a diagnosis.
Yeah.
Stress.
Yeah.
Maybe a little depression. Just sprinkle that in there also. Yeah. She needs to do what's best for her own mental health also. Now, him, I understand his mental health is at stake here also. But he's only working one job.
Yeah.
Compared to her, two jobs. Like, as an adult, you have to work to sustain whatever lifestyle you want to.
Mm-hmm.
So I think bare minimum, he should maintain that one job until he finds what something else. Bare minimum.
Bare.
Mm-hmm. Completely agree.
Yeah.
Because I think what's good that's happened in the last, I don't know, like 5-10 years, is people talking about their mental health. Like,
yeah,
people were just pushing this down. They were saying it wasn't real, didn't matter. I do think it's important that people talk about mental health. But now I think there's a flip side that we're talking about it so much that people are just
weaponizing it.
Yes. Yeah. They're like using it as a thing. They're like, well, I can't do it because my mental health.
Yeah.
No, there are things in life that, unfortunately, if you don't have the time or tools to do it, like, you still have to do some things. You have to work through it. And I think this is one of those things.
Yeah.
For us to live,
mm-hmm.
you need to have a job. I know it doesn't feel good. a lot of things being an adult don't feel good, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And you have to push through it. I do think there's other things we should be doing in our relationship to be like, I need to help you. You're working two full-time jobs. So when there's things I need to do for you at home, I need to like make sure you have opportunities to relax, that we can go do things that maybe can alleviate a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to go to work because we need that money.
Yeah.
And I need to quit this job because I cannot work 80 hours a week.
Yeah.
So there has to be some give and pull. And you saying you're not prioritizing my, like, so what are you going to do? You're just going to sit there? You're going to quit your job? You have no prospects? That's not attractive. That's
scary. That's very,
yeah.
It's not the smartest decision to ever make. Never leave a job if you don't have something else lined up already.
I be getting mad at my friends when they're like, yeah, I just quit my job. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
It's like, what are you going to do?
They're like, I don't know. I'll figure it out. That's crazy. That is like,
such a scary position to be in.
Yeah.
That's such a scary position to be in because you're jumping off a plane with no parachute, no back. Because that was one thing my dad, he instilled in me early on when I started my first job. He said, all right, Brandon, like you're starting to pay for your own stuff now. Like one thing you really, really have to learn. Because I remember I was working at McDonald's and I wanted to quit. I was just like, I don't know what I want to do, but McDonald's ain't it.
It ain't it.
Because it was understaffed. It was all bad. And my dad was saying, okay, put it into perspective. You quit now. You have what? Maybe one or two checks. We taught you to save good, but you have one or two checks and then the rest of your savings is just going to deplete. What are you going to do after that? What if you don't find a job in time? And I was like, I don't know. I'll figure it out. And he said, because we're not buying your clothes anymore.
We're done. We're out of the Brandon clothes business.
We're not buying your clothes anymore. So how are you going to get your clothes for your last year's school? And he started just breaking everything down. He said, sometimes it's painful. It's going to suck. But like while you're at the job you're doing that you don't like, start thinking about what else you can be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so when you come home, you start applying for those jobs. So I was like in the back booth headset on. I was like, maybe I could do Target. No, I don't like how it's red there. It's just going to remind me of McDonald's.
Oh my God.
I was like, I can't do that. It's going to make me mad because I'm going to just think I'm at McDonald's, but just a retail version. And I eventually landed on Walmart.
Which is crazy that you chose to go to Walmart. That's the utopia you went to?
$11 an hour. When like minimum wage was still like,
yeah. That's how they get you though.
That's yeah, crazy.
That's how Walmart be getting people.
Yeah,
but without Walmart, I wouldn't have met Jill eventually.
True, because that's how he met Joe. Because mm-hmm. they were coworkers.
Oh, I thought you helped them pick an item, man.
No, I worked at Walmart too.
Oh, you did?
I did. Worst mistake of my life.
At the same Walmart they worked at?
No, I worked at the one.
Ooh.
Oh, that's my jam. That was used to be my one.
Man. The whole time I worked there for like 3 weeks. I put in my 2 weeks notice when I had a job lined up. I got into it with a customer one day and I never went back.
Dang.
I said, forget the 2 weeks notice. I'm fine. I got a savings account. It's okay.
Yeah. But yeah, back to the story. It's big picture. I think that's what my dad was teaching me. Big picture.
Mm-hmm.
It does suck right now, but the big picture is your girl's already stressed, bro.
Mm-hmm.
She's already stressed out working 80 hours a week and has no
for a
life.
Year.
For a year, yeah.
It's crazy.
It's almost like, because even there'll be times where Maddie's super stressed and I have enough empathy to check in, you know, mm-hmm. at least something like,
yeah.
Yo, you good? Huh?
You squeeze her hand.
My hand's already like completely. It's like
I can't
so
even,
firm.
I had to like grab around the hand.
Like, gonna like open it up. It's just shaped around a mouse, so he like pulls it away.
Maddie, I had to like just like
Maddie, hold my hand, go. Maddie.
And I'm like, no, what? This isn't.
It's not a mouse.
I have to keep editing.
She keeps trying to click your
hand. It's just my hand.
Edit number one, key facts I left out. Our two incomes alone were more than enough to suffice our living situation. Me taking the second job was my decision. That third income is for everything else that is in life. the fun, the adventure, the additional savings, etc. He was not keen on the idea initially. Edit number two, Steven is not entirely reliant on my income. It's just how our finances even out at the moment. The job he currently has is or was his dream job. We moved for this job. We planned our future based on this career path, and him quitting would set us back even further than where we started. All burn out before we ever catch back up. Honestly, the whole idea just terrifies me.
I think that it's important that people realize that like a lot of Americans are one paycheck away from or like one mishap or a mistake away from being being financially like messed up.
Yeah.
So him quitting that job could potentially just set them so far back, like 2 to 3 years back.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to recover from some financial mishaps like that. Then now that homegirl mentions that they moved there for this job for him and it was like the dream job. It's like, you about to quit now?
This is your dream job.
No. I moved here for you. No, sir. No, sir. I left my family, my friends, had to find a job here. Not one job, but two.
That's... Ooh.
Slow down, buckaroo.
Well, OP didn't have to find a second job.
She didn't have to. That was just for fun.
Yeah.
That's just so we can have fun and whatnot. But, okay, let's say she didn't have the second job and she was just working her one job that she had. And if he quit his job, that for sure would put them in financial ruin right there. Because that second job is like keeping them like overflowing. But if she never had that second job, was working with her one income and his one income, him quitting a job would set them back.
Yeah.
For sure.
That's what we need. Dang, I haven't watched him in forever. I haven't watched Caleb Cameron.
I know.
Me neither.
Months. That's the kind of stuff I think about is, because I think I've always, even when I was like working at Subway, I always pushed back against the idea of having two jobs.
Yeah.
Because I think people just think, oh, two jobs is better than one. More money means like it's better. But I'm like, you're adding the stress of another whole workplace, more hours.
More schedules.
More schedules. The time is actually taking away from things you would like to do for fun. So you're like doubling all the stress at one time.
Yeah.
And usually it's not even the benefit of the money is not outweighing all the other stresses and all the other pain of everything that comes with having a second job. So I'm like, it's harder now because inflation, guys.
Yeah.
Inflation, my God. But I'm more living under the means of my current job than trying to get a second job to meet this, to boost over this other level, thinking getting another paycheck will boost me over a level. I'm like, well, I need to evaluate what I'm doing. And as a two-person paycheck hold place, paycheck
two-person household.
Yeah. That didn't seem, it seemed weird. Two-person paycheck household.
Dual-income household?
Dual-income. That's... Maddie knows what it is. We should be living within our means. We should be able... It's harder now, but as two people, we should be able to live a comfortable life that we're not stressed and we can do some things. We might not be able to do everything we want to do, but we can do some things to keep us stressed. We should be focusing on that. Please let this woman quit her job. She does not need to be working 80 hours. Nobody needs to be working 80 hours a week. And homeboy, you need to find it. The only way you leave this job is if you're dead or you got another one. And that's all I'm talking.
Dang, Sam, you kind of scared me with that one.
You ain't quitting your job.
I ain't quitting my job. No time.
Especially after they moved. I think that's the other thing.
You can't.
Uprooted. Yeah, what Jill was saying, you uprooted to get to this job. That is one thing. Growing up, I remember being a little bit scared of is just seeing a little bit of how the workforce was with like retail and fast food. And it's like there was always something I could pick out that I didn't like about a job. But that was always my biggest fear, to be in a job that was like, if I could get this job, I would never quit. And then you get to the point, you're like, I want to quit tomorrow. That always scares me. So I'm interested to also know what his switch was.
Like, what about it scares you?
Like, just to be in that position, like, you're like, oh, this is the job I wanted. This is the job. I got it. I made it.
But you don't want it anymore.
And then you do the work or you do whatever, and you're like, I actually did not want this at all.
There might be nothing out there for me. I think this is it.
I think I'm supposed to not have a job, guys. Yeah.
I think
actually I shouldn't be working, girlfriend, because I just don't feel it.
I don't think that's what you should take from it.
I think I should just make money and just exist.
I think I shouldn't make any money. I think everything should be free. I think I should just be doing whatever I want to do.
It's the government's fault, though. Why are they charging us?
Why do we have jobs?
Maybe we can get
Warren
Buffett to like help us. You hear his goal is to distribute 99% of his wealth outside of his family.
No.
Only 1% of it goes to his three kids.
Really?
Yeah. Well, he's like, he's $150 billion, so like it's easy to give him 1% of that and it'll be fine. But he's like, I don't think it's good to have generational wealth in that way where I don't know what, he's like, I know my kids. He's basically like, I know my kids, so I know they're people who can manage money and they're philanthropic, but I don't know their kids. So why am I trying to build this thing for these people that I don't know? Which I thought was very interesting. He's like actively giving money to all his foundations and all these other things.
Well, Mr. Buffett,
but I'm like,
I got $200,000 in student
loans. Some people who,
if
he found
generous,
his dream job he doesn't want to do anymore, I think donate to him.
Mr. Buffett, I would like a house.
Warren. I'm not even going to be too picky. I just want you to pay off these student loans.
That's Warren.
I hold down the rest.
Just a quick
that would be really nice. Just millionaires and billionaires just forgiving some people's student loans.
First people to see him in public. If you see him, go up to him, hand him a check.
We're just outside his house.
Yeah. Hand him a receipt like, Warren.
So if you could sign on this dotted line here and get your bank information. I'm not going to look. That's my bank information. So if you could transfer that over, or actually I'm just going to send you to the student loan place. That's my sign in. That's my login.
Really? Here, you can call it financial right here.
No, you can't make him do the work. That's crazy.
I can pull it up on my phone right now. Just enter your credit card information.
You having him call the financial aid office is like, he's like, yeah, it's Warren Buffett. Like, you're on hold, please. Sorry, you're number 32 in line. You're like,
okay, so this next story is, am I the asshole for telling my brother I'm not dealing with his wife while he's at work?
No.
I'm not dealing with his wife while he's at work. Oh.
It depends.
Ooh. Yeah.
What does it depend
on? I feel like this could be low-key juicy.
You married her. I didn't marry her.
I ain't married her. Yeah.
Am I the asshole for telling my brother I am done dealing with his wife while he's at work? I'm writing this post because honestly, I don't know if I'm in the wrong. For the backstory, my brother, 21 male, Travis, and his wife, 20 female, Taylor, got married in February 2023 while our mom was in the hospital from a stroke. Fake names for obvious reasons. They told no one about the ceremony until the day of, and then immediately after, Taylor got pregnant. After all that, my mom let Taylor move in with us so they could live together. I don't like Taylor for numerous reasons that I will not bother y'all with today. My problem is that whenever she gets a phone call from her family, when she is tired, or I guess whenever she feels like it, she starts acting weird, I think for attention. She'll do things like, one, say she is hungry but refuses to eat, / expresses she has only eaten a piece of chocolate and refuses to eat. Two, says she's tired but refuses to let us watch the baby so she can nap during the combo. She will begin to fall asleep until we force her to go upstairs. Three, disappearing without saying anything and coming back upset about it, saying she won't say. The list goes on, but this is the gist of it. It has been 2 months since the birth of my nephew. Taylor is going through some postpartum depression and, going along with the trend, refuses to do treatment of any kind. My mother, sister, and I have all tried to help Travis get her help, but she resists. So it all came to a head when my brother had to work on the night of a recent snowstorm. Right after he left for work, he texted and asked if I could make sure Taylor would eat. I said yes, because I was trying to be civil, but that already pissed me off. After I finished helping with dinner, I went upstairs to ask her to come eat. She said yes, and on my way downstairs, I told her I would bring her a plate if she didn't come down. I wasn't expecting her to come down, because the night before, my mother had told her not to come around if she was going to be depressed and not do anything about it. Of course, she never came down, so I sent my sister up with food, and 10 minutes later, I hear the front door open and close. When I come down to see what the noise was, Taylor was coming back in the house saying she just threw up outside. I said, "That sucks," and I went on my way because I felt like this was just another ploy for attention. I mean, there is no way she threw up because I go outside to throw up and you can hear it from the house. She went back to their side of the house and I went back to mine. But 10 minutes later, I got a text from Travis. He was asking me to go hang out with Taylor because she had thrown up. I told him I would send our sister, and 5 minutes later, she came to tell me Taylor sent her away. When I told Travis this, he asked me to go check on Taylor later, and this is where I might be the asshole. I got mad and I told him she was an adult and no one signed up to take care of her besides him. All he replied back was, "Okay," and he has avoided me since. I feel bad, and my mom and sister think I could have been nicer, but I have been nice to her the whole pregnancy and for the last 2 months. I also help at least 3 times a week with the baby so they can have alone time when they want. I feel like this isn't my job to take care of my sister-in-law, so am I the asshole? And then there's edits.
Mm-mm. Because if they're all in the same house,
mm-hmm.
if they were alone, what would happen? I mean, granted, there is, I guess, because we do tend, well, at least I personally tend to focus on one thing by accident. I haven't really seen or experienced like postpartum, so I can't necessarily speak to that piece of it, but I don't think, at least from what the message sounded like, the message was just very direct, straightforward. Hey, I didn't sign up for this. Y'all did.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he is.
Well, I think the biggest thing is one of the things that I don't like, and I don't like people that complain all the time and not try and do anything to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
So you're complaining about a problem, but you have no intention of doing anything about it. That's one thing that really frustrates me. So I can understand where OP's coming from, where they're like, all she does is complain,
mm-hmm.
but she has no intention on fixing what she's complaining about, whether she can help it or not.
I mean, I'm not a fan of those kinds of people. So I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think OP's the asshole in this situation. I think there would have been maybe a better delivery, but mm-hmm. you got the point that you wanted. Like, you still had a truth that you needed to tell. It might have not been told in the nicest way, but it was a truth that needed to be told. And you're already doing a lot for them if you're taking care of the baby 3 times a week so that they have alone time. That's something that a lot of couples do not get, especially early on. And their thing without paying for it. I'm guessing they're probably not paying you for this. Well, I think the gist was sound like, even though it wasn't maybe delivered the best way, it's good that you got it out. You are doing a lot for the couple already. That's enough.
Mm-hmm.
Like we were joking about before, it's like, I wasn't in the vows. I'm not supposed to be taking care of her, taking care of the baby. That's not my job. We just happen to be living in the same place. And I'm like, I'm a human being, so I can see you need help and I can help you in certain situations, but making sure you're being fed and that you are grown. Also, why is people throwing up outside? Is that a normal thing?
I know. OP was like, when I go outside, I can't hear. I was like,
OP, I don't get what you're doing. Why are y'all all throwing up outside?
I think the bigger question is, what are y'all eating that's making y'all throw up like
actually,
this?
Yeah, I don't know the last time I've thrown up, so that is crazy if you're like, throwing up, are you doing this in the lawn? Isn't that with toilets? I throw up in a toilet.
Yeah. Toilet.
Mm-hmm.
So OP, for that, you are the asshole. Because I think you're just throwing up in the street. Wait. Is what it seems like.
What did he say again? Maybe, because I just thought, I interpreted it as a straightforward message, but Sam's saying the delivery was a little off, but I don't text a lot. Like, I don't like to text, so sometimes I can hear it and I'm like, oh yeah, that's probably how I would have said it, but it might come off different. I call people. That's my thing. If I got a quarrel with you, I'm gonna call you.
She was an adult and no one signed up to take care of her besides him.
Okay. Now hearing that again. Okay. Yeah. I can see the delivery thing.
Yeah. Cause I think the quote unquote, like, better way to do it is, suck it up until the brother gets home and I'm like, hey, this ain't happening again. Like, tell them face to face, not in a text. where it's going to be misconstrued as like being shady and petty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also, I don't know if I would do that. I would like, I'm mad now, so I'm not doing it now. Text, text, text.
I would have called. Yeah. Hey, yo. Hey. You're tweaking.
Hey, yo.
I think me coming from a younger sibling perspective, where I always have all of my siblings asking me to do things to make their lives easier when they could literally just take 30 seconds and do it themselves. Mm-hmm. I could totally see OP being like, yeah, no. And then just being brutally honest with the emotion of, this is to make your life easier. It's not to make my life easier. And how many times have I done this for you? No, like I'm drawing the line.
The sibling thing is an important thing. That actually is very important to the
I think that shows our answer too.
Yeah.
Because my thing is like, you put yourself here. Now you got to learn from it.
And I'm delighting in this for you. No.
All right. So our last story. Is relationship advice. My boyfriend said he didn't feel special on his birthday. Help. My boyfriend and I went on a cruise for his 25th birthday. He told me normally he doesn't do anything for his birthday, and neither do his friends or family. This is the first birthday I've spent with him. The cruise was 5 days, Miami to Mexico to the Bahamas, and then back to Miami. After the cruise, we stayed in Miami for 2 days, did a bus tour, and went to a basketball game really close up. He works part-time and lives with his parents and has no bills. I work 2 jobs, have my own apartment, and a lot of bills. This cruise came a lot from savings and credit cards, but I decided it was worth it because I had never done anything like this and it was his 25th. On my birthday, 25, we went to a lantern festival that I planned, at which he wandered off, leaving me, and I snapped at him and he began giving me the cold shoulder. We ended up arguing and he made me cry at this lantern festival and he skipped out on the dinner I had planned after. We made up from this, but I felt that it was relevant. When we got back from the cruise, I noticed he was distant. After a week of him not talking to me, I asked him to come to my apartment so we could talk. He then told me that his birthday didn't really feel special and that he felt we didn't do enough on the cruise. He said the whole thing felt like any other day. He was really upset that I nodded off in the middle of a basketball game and forgot my wallet one of the days. I don't like basketball at all, but it's his favorite sport, so I've started learning about it, and I got tickets for the game. After that, he told me he didn't like my Christmas or birthday gifts, and it felt like there was no thought behind them. A duffel bag, a Polaroid camera with film, and supplies to make a scrapbook. I felt like I did put a lot of thought behind them, but I guess it wasn't what he was expecting. When he told me this, I got really mad and I started yelling at him before kicking him out of my apartment. I don't think I'm in the wrong, but after cooling down a bit, I'm not sure if he is either. From my standpoint, he seems very ungrateful, but I also realize that this isn't going to make him not feel how he feels, which ultimately is unfulfilled. I'm not sure how to talk to him about this without getting angry again, and I'm at a loss as to what to do. Please advise. Edit, it was his idea, and we both split the cost of the vacation 50-50, so around $2,000 each.
I have a lot of things about this one.
You made me cry at a lantern festival. That made me die.
Firstly, I think it's important for couples to find out like what each other's love language is and what they prefer particularly. Because even though she did all of this for him for his birthday, it might not have been something that he just thoroughly wanted or liked.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's also the perspective of, why are you spending this much money on him at 25? You like, do you got it like that?
Doesn't seem like it.
She doesn't. Said she used credit cards.
You using credit cards and stuff. Credit?
People be dumb in relationships. People be spending money.
Like, you're just a girlfriend. I don't think you should be going this hard for
a birthday.
I thought
you were gonna say, she's just a girl.
She's just a girl. Like,
he's just a chill guy.
She's done a lot. And it sounds like she's putting a lot of thought into everything because you planned your own birthday stuff also. He didn't plan it for you.
Yeah.
And it's giving a little sugar mama vibe a little bit because you're spending a lot of money on him, but I'm not hearing that he's spending money on you, sis.
Well, they went half on the vacation.
On the vacation. I give him that. Yeah. Just on the cruise portion of it. Did he spend money in Miami? I wonder.
Miami.
I wonder.
I mean, he seemed to be pretty frustrated from what I can remember. Well, that she left her wallet.
So,
Yeah. Suspicious. That is suspicious.
It's very suspicious.
That one's suspicious. I get you on that.
Yeah.
I do get the love languages thing, but I also think he is coming off as very ungrateful.
Oh, yeah. Very much ungrateful.
I think he's coming from a very privileged state mindset right now, because he's not living on his own. But she lives on her own. She pays all over. She pays her bills. Her bills are paid.
Yeah.
But also, do I think it's the smartest thing to put your vacation on a credit card? No. But I get people need breaks. I mean, girl, you're working two jobs, so you probably need a break.
Maybe not
a $2,000 cruise. But.
I did. It took me 3 years to recover from it. So yeah, do not put a vacation on a credit card.
Maybe a different vacation that isn't as expensive.
Yeah.
Because I get, like, you know, you have somewhat of, I get wanting to have those experiences with your partner.
Yeah.
But definitely don't go out of your way. Because I get what you're saying. It doesn't seem equal. Even if it's just a matter of spending money on each other, it doesn't seem like it's equal. Whether it's not because he wants to do it or he can't do it yet.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like. Maybe she's also feeling, what was it? She was feeling frustrated because he was saying all this stuff. But then also, it seems like, I mean, she mentioned the Lantern Festival, so maybe I can assume that she wanted at least some type of effort to be put into her birthday that he was doing, and he doesn't do that. And so it wasn't an equal type of, hey, let me put all this effort into your birthday, but you don't put any effort into my birthday. And I know that. So I'm going to plan my birthday. Mm-hmm. You just literally show up.
Right.
But for whatever reason, you fought with me at a Lantern Festival and made me cry.
On her birthday.
On her birthday.
Lantern Festivals are like emotionally volatile, though.
Never
so
been.
I get that.
Oh. Did you cry at a Lantern Festival?
I'm going to talk about it.
Okay.
Let's unpack that.
Not even a little bit?
I'm just saying if...
Can we unpack
it? If the relationship's already rocky, don't go to one.
Oh.
That's all I'll say to that.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, we can.
I don't know why when he said that, it made me think, I pay my bills. My bills are paid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Gratitude is free.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
it. Just.
My fault.
That was for the cough and the quote.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's it. From an early age, I learned to, even if you don't like something,
be grateful.
Just be grateful.
Yeah.
Just, hey, thank you.
Because they didn't have to.
They didn't have to.
No one has to. That's the thing that people do not get. Yeah. You're dating someone. They don't have to.
Yeah.
It's nice that they do, but they don't have to.
That is an extravagant gift.
That's
take
a lot.
Someone on a cruise and then spend 2 days in Miami.
Well, even to buy basketball tickets for them. Because if that's a pro game, those are expensive.
The assuming Miami Heat.
I think the only thing I wanted to say was similar to what Brandon was saying about gratitude. I think effort is so important in relationships. And to see her put that much effort in and he doesn't respond to it in kind, it's just like a turnoff to me.
Yeah.
Because I think effort is so important. There are some things where you're like, we're constantly putting effort into something I don't like, and that can be annoying over a period of time. But definitely early on for a lot of it, if I see that you're doing effort, even if it's something I don't like, that's good enough for me. I'm like, you tried.
Yeah.
And you cared enough to try for me.
And then also to mention, he went out of his way to complain. He's like, by the way, those birthday gifts and that Christmas
gift
you got me,
crazy
I hated that. That wasn't me. And she was like, okay, yeah, I don't know. He's just going out of his way to complain and shit talk all the stuff that she's done for him.
He just with
the
brought it up out of nowhere.
Being 50-50, it's like he could have just said no if he didn't want to do that.
To go, yeah. Brandon's a man. He and his dad installed a battery in my car today.
Ooh. That's hot. It doesn't get better than that.
My mom told me that my car was dead today. I told Brandon today.
Mm-hmm.
I went and got a battery
today.
A few hours later, he and his dad came and installed it today.
Period.
I forgot that my battery was dead this morning.
Go ahead, cousin.
And not to rain on your parade, but a battery's like probably the easiest thing to change. I've changed the battery, so that means it can't be that
hard. Hey, Sam.
I'm just saying.
Let him have his moment.
If he said a radiator, then I'm like.
A radiator. He's a man. Carburetor. Yeah. Alternator.
Tarburetor.
Alternator.
Either way, it's going to ring about
350. That's a boyfriend right there. Change the battery.
It's a man.
Because he could have got shocked.
In my garage?
Yeah, he could have died.
I'm just like holding the gun. Funny.
Wait, you said shocked.
Yeah, shocked. Not shocked. Did you have a gun on him?
Yeah.
No, Maddie. I didn't know about that at all. I didn't know that was a part of it.
She keeps the name on like, that. Well,
she's like, you mess
still
up.
Still care.
You mess up.
Call the ambulance. Call the ambulance.
But not for me.
Well, that's it. That was the stories.
That's it?
Yep. That's a great time, great episode with some good friends. Some bad friends, because we're a good group of friends.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody, for coming to the Comfort Level Podcast. Thank you for submitting your stories and letting us read them and discussing them, especially if you were people in the comments discussing the stories. Jill, thank you for coming back again.
Thanks, Jill. Thanks,
they don't know Jill. This, but Jill can finally see herself.
I can. Yeah. Yay.
It's amazing.
Yay.
See your fingers.
And we'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.